Ooh, yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it!
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Bobby Jaycox, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast, episode 111.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Bobby Jaycox.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Welcome back, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. We're not in a mall this time. Yeah. It doesn't sound like Jurassic Park. I can't tell, does it, with that sound in the back?
No, it sounds fine.
Yeah, we are in a Taco Bell.
Yeah. It's nice. We decided Bobby just performed in front of a sold-out show at Valley Park, and we decided to stop in at Taco Bell and check out a podcast.
So. Yep, it was about as sold out as this Taco Bell is right now. It feels about the same way. Yeah, that was fun. I'm glad you got to come out to that to see me do not well in front of 13 people. That was cool.
It's been a while, man. I was excited to get to see you. You've been out on the road bouncing all over the place.
Yeah.
And, it's been really cool to watch some cool things happening for you and stuff. But kind of talked about in your act, but you just went in up to Chicago Improv and stuff. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. I went to Chicago last week, and I went up there to hang out with just like some of the comedians, just try to get on open mics. Went up there to stay with Kevin White and Mikey Manker, and then they just like, I was up there, and it was like I felt so privileged because they were just like, hey, you want to get on this show? You want to get on this show? And then I messaged my buddy Nick Rowley to be like, hey, what's going on? And he was like, you want to do this show at I.O.? So I was lucky to go up there and meet all these Chicago comedians and do the shows up there. And it's fun to just, go around. Like, I didn't, didn't get paid for any of the shows or anything like that. But I was like, and that's the thing. It was like, do you get paid? And I was like, it's still the early stages. Just fun to go on the road and, like, check stuff out. And Chicago is beautiful. I love St. Louis, but when you can ride a metro or like a train around everywhere, because ours has like no stops. It's like if you ride it, I don't know where it goes, but in Chicago, it all goes everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The L up there is crazy. Like it's really neat.
Yeah. I got definitely. Oh, so when someone's leaving. Bye. We got all the Taco Bell employees are laughing at something very big.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Do you know what just happened? Did you see one of them went into the? Was that the guy? Did she go in the guy's bathroom?
No, they're both in the women's.
They're both okay.
And they're laughing hysterically.
They're laughing hysterically. Sorry, guys.
We missed the joke.
Hey, y'all's okay?
I don't know. We're having a good time.
Hey, that's what we like. Have a good. You're at work. Have a good time.
How's it going?
No, you guys
got to
come on. No,
I
gotta
be.
I don't even know what's going on right now. All right, guys. There's not something very serious going on, but it does definitely probably sound like that. Every time, there's always, like, there's either dinosaurs or just crazy.
How you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, how are you doing? Say hi to everybody.
Hi! Yo, yo!
Yeah. They are having fun.
Yo, yo. Yo, yo. One of you guys want to say hi?
Okay.
Oh, no?
Come to Taco Hood.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
It says 3 million listeners. You guys are being broadcast. You guys are being broadcast on NBC right now.
I don't even know. I don't even. None of this makes sense. I'll broadcast on NBC. Yeah. They're like they just went back to just radios. Cool. How you guys having a good night?
Yeah.
Cool. You gotta get closer if you're gonna talk in on this.
Hey.
You don't have to talk right on it. You just have to get a little closer. You just have to talk at it. What happened? What was so funny over there?
Making too many jokes. You don't
want to
know.
Semicolon. What's the? What do you have a semicolon on your arm?
Yeah.
What's all right. yeah. I wasn't just. I didn't know if like I'm like. Hey, in case you didn't notice, brush that semicolon tattoo off your arm. I know what's there. I just was wondering what it meant. Are you a grammar enthusiast?
No, it stands for somebody with depression, anxiety, somebody who knows Smith's commit suicide, self harm.
something like that.
Okay, cool. Man, I really brought the energy down that you guys had. You guys just had so much fun
really.
Energy.
No, oh, not no. Really.
Okay, cool. I didn't mean
are
to.
You okay in there?
Who are you talking to?
Our headsets.
If you guys are confused on the podcast, I think me and Shane are as well. So if you're like, I'm confused, we are the equal amount of confused.
Shane, who's... Hi.
I'm Shane.
And your name?
Bobby.
Bobby.
J. Cox.
Oh, my... Didn't you go to Northwest?
Yes, I did. I did go to Northwest. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is very insider. This is very... Like, we're listening to like, ah...
We need Jesus. Send Jesus to us, please.
We are currently at the Taco Bell in Valley Park.
No!
Are you guys not allowed to have fun
Lucas
here?
Because Core will come.
Who's Core? Does Courtney... Oh, corporate. Yeah. Does corporate listen?
Yeah, they're big fans. They're sponsors.
They are big sponsors of this podcast. You guys, this is the most fun I've ever seen employees have at any job, I think.
I know.
I love it. I'm excited. I need a. We need to. I get an application, maybe.
Oh man!
Yeah, you. It's online.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Currently hiring. I just started here 2 weeks ago.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
I hope she loves it. We try to make it the best.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's better than like any other job. I've
any
had.
Job.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Well, I'm glad you guys like it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you gotta make it fun. You gotta be back there trying all the snacks.
It's just gonna.
No, I mean, if I was, would you not? You wouldn't eat all those. You wouldn't eat all the snacks back there if you're just working.
The
Cinnabon?
Yes. Yeah. So don't look at me. Don't give me that look like I don't know. You guys steal some food back there. I would be stealing food.
I just ate a soft taco. What are you talking? What?
Our headsets connect to each other so we can press a button and talk.
Okay. Well, cool. Yeah,
that's why you guys are confused.
Yeah, we are very confused.
All right. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Good as...
Yeah.
No.
I'll take the blame for that one. If you don't know what happened, it's because Shane edited all of that out. It was just some crazy Taco Bell girls.
Yeah. Hey, never a dull moment at Taco Bell.
Never a dull moment. The last time it was dinosaurs, this time it was crazy whores. They're not whores, that just rhymed.
Yeah, man, I actually, you mentioned at the opening of the show, but I tell your story almost every podcast because it's such a funny, everybody, you know, because I do a lot remotely and weird, you know, Taco Bells and... Mm-hmm. Starbucks and wherever else, you know, and it's like just because I'm usually meeting somebody and, you know, somewhere in the middle. And
mm-hmm.
But I tell them the story a lot about meeting with you in a Chesterfield Mall food court.
Yeah.
And like the cleaning crew coming in and dragging chairs everywhere.
It was weird because it's like they were moving stuff around and they always move chairs so far away and we're dragging them that I was like, are they making it a point to like, all right, guys, now it's the time where you rearrange all the chairs and put them as far away as you can. That was a nightmare. I'm glad I also tell that story because it was like, we just really, all sat down and got crazy really fast.
It was, but it sounded great, you know, like it really made the podcast a lot of fun because, you know, it allowed you to improv and we started making jokes about the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, and which is, you know, now it's funny that that movie is like out and stuff and like that.
Yeah.
So it was all tied together, you know, nicely. And
it worked out. It worked out well. You know what? Sometimes you got to improvise. If someone's moving chairs around or some, you know, ladies just want to get real loud, you gotta address them.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you've been putting that to good work with the improv shop and stuff. You guys seem to be killing it, man.
Yeah. We're having a great time. Yeah, and the improv shop's doing really, they're doing just well just in general. And everyone who is there, like Kevin McKernan and Amy Slowey, they've been running things great. We got, you know, John Lang and Katie Nunn, Melanie. I feel like now I have to name them all.
Right.
I feel like I'd name every one of them because they're amazing. But it's a cool community, and they're great. That they're actually putting stand-ups on now, and they're letting us do our own showcase. Like right now, me and Rafe Williams do first Wednesday of the month is an open mic, and then the third Wednesday we do a showcase. And they've been cool about like trying to expand about like just not having just straight up improv there.
Right.
So it's probably one of my favorite places to just hang out because it's like shows go on, but even if you're not on a show, it's the only place where like everyone goes to hang out all the time. All great. A cool community. If you've never seen a show at the Improv Shop, I would definitely see it.
I actually haven't been there. I need to go.
Yeah, it's great.
But I mean, you know, like in a sense, like I'm still seeing a lot of shows because I'm when I'm doing this, like it's I'm getting a show. You know, I'm either hanging out with a buddy or you know, like a lot of times I'm having musicians play live on the show and things. So I'm not quite out as much as I once was because I'm doing this too. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoy doing this, and this is you know as much of fun as doing a going to a show.
Absolutely, yeah. So. And I've said it before, but definitely thank you for doing this because you were the first guy in the scene who was promoting a lot of shows and doing like that. And every once in a while, there's a guy who comes around and be like or a guy or girl and will post some stuff, and that's because they want to get into it. And I remember asking you, I was like, "So you're doing this because you want to get in comedy?" And you're like, "I literally just like hanging out and like getting to know everybody." And I've seen you since I probably started, and probably you were around like even before that, were you not?
I think yeah. I've been going to the Funny Bone a long time, and then you know it was kind of casual at first, and then I just started getting in with all those guys, you know, Tommy down there and Essig and all those, you know, when all these guys were still around a lot. And, you know, and then it was just a lot of fun. These guys all became my friends. It was like I was working nights so Sunday nights were good for me to go because I didn't have to wake up early Monday morning. I didn't be at work till 2:30, so
yeah.
I'd go hang out at the Funny Bone on a Sunday night for free with a dollar?
Those
Kilo Diabetes Foundation passes. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, it just kind of became my Sunday night ritual and hanging out down there.
Yeah.
And I became part of the family, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly. And there's definitely nothing like hanging out with just, like, comedians in general. Because at first, I definitely got into comedy because I wanted to do it. And now it's so much more richer whenever you get like that hang afterwards with all the comedians and like yeah like I've seen you before like after the shows we're all hanging out in the lobby or whatever and that's like that's where it's hard because guys always say they're like you know like I'm doing good on stage I'm trying to do good here but it's like unless you can be with all the comedians and then you're the funniest comedian right. And I've heard a lot of people say that before but that is the truth so it's like we're all hanging out I'm like I did good on stage but I can't ever be funnier than Josh Arnold ever you know what I mean it's like so but it's such a fun and rewarding place to like hang out with like other comedians and stuff so
yeah and I've said it a lot of times, like, it's kind of become my cheers, you know, I walk in and everybody knows my name, and, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, it feels good, you know, even though it's some crazy dysfunctional family, but we're all family still, and that's,
yeah,
it feels fun to go and hang out with my buddies, and a lot of them have been on the show now and stuff, and it's just, you know, it's nice to catch up.
So. It feels amazing, yeah. Yeah, and now we're getting to do this, and we're sitting in a Taco Bell, and this is what friendship is.
Yeah.
This is where friendship grows.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it's just exciting to, you know, watching you killing it, man. You've been, all over the place doing great things. You got these, you got the Stupid Brain shows going, and then you got, the STL Up Late, mm-hmm. and, even your own little short movie.
Yeah. The Dad Kiss.
Yeah, Dad Kiss.
Yeah.
Now in the film festival.
Man. Yeah. They're having it in a sham film festival. They contacted us and asked. They're like, "We saw your video. We'd love if you submitted." So we submitted, and they're going to be using it this year. So that'll be fun. And they've been doing a lot of promotional stuff. And I just think it's cool because I think St. Louis right now with like. Us pushing for STL Up Late, like going on TV, the Funny Bone getting a new location, like, and there's apparently other comedy clubs coming in town, and like the Improv Shop's blowing up. Like, I just think St. Louis is a really fun hub to like live in right now. Where, definitely. You know, I hope eventually St. Louis could become a place where, like, if a kid who was like doing stand up in like a, I won't say what city because I don't want to be like Wyoming, because like we got a comedy scene too, but whatever, like, if a kid could be like, "Hey, where could I move to?" You could move to St. Louis to grow as a comedian. Like, yeah, there's a lot more open mics than even when I started. And
almost beautiful every place. Night of the week you can go up on get some stage time, so it's really exciting to see the scene and the city and everybody's supporting it and stuff, so mm-hmm. things are growing
and seeing friends blow up seeing friends like finally like get cool things and we're all like because at first it definitely starts as a hobby and then you start like your friends start getting stuff, you're like, "I can't believe we've done this." Sure.
I mean, you off mic I was telling you about went to our podcast last week and then they just met them for the first night and then they were talking and they got their CD release show, Les Gruff and the Billy Goat. They got their CD release coming up in September and they got Andrew Frank's gonna come host it.
No way.
And so we got to talking about Andrew and like they said they met him at like a Venice Cafe open mic night or some kind of thing, and they thought he was hysterical. And I'm like, yeah, Andrew's one of my favorites to watch, and he's just been, you know, he's grown bigger and bigger. Like, I first met him, he was doing a little bit of hosting work and stuff, and then now he just had his first headline weekend.
He just headlined. I saw that, and I was like, man, good for him, because he's like, he's probably one of the hardest working comedians I've ever met, maybe, you know what I mean? He's like, he just has like that work ethic down, and he's so funny, and his ideas are... I like Andrew Frank. If you've never checked out Andrew Frank, definitely check him out. He's great.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just, like I said, man, you know, in a short time, like, to watch some guy get, you know, paying his dues and getting, you know, earning some nice spots, you know, stuff like, you know, he's been doing a lot of road gigs, too, and stuff. It's just fun to see that he's, you know, it's paying off for him and stuff, so.
Yeah.
And the same thing with you, man, getting your name out there and doing some stuff in Colombia and things, too. And,
yeah. It's fun. Yeah, definitely. I think whenever I started, I definitely was like, I'm just going to, like, be famous. And then you start doing it, and you realize, okay, that's not what's going to happen. But then, so then it just starts surprising yourself, because you're like, how far will I go with this? Because I know I definitely want to do this for life, but everyone says that's like, who's really going to make it through all of the hardships and stuff like that? And I'm definitely addicted to it. I love it.
I was listening to Nerdist podcast, and they had Robert Rodriguez on. And, man, I don't know. It just really touched me, because, like, he was talking about when he... Do you know Robert?
I did not.
He's, you know, big filmmaker, did, like, Dust Till Dawn, Desperado, he did that Grindhouse stuff with Quentin Tarantino.
Okay.
He does Sin City movies.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure you've seen
some
of his work, but he's Machete.
I've never seen that, but I saw the commercials, and that looked crazy.
You know, great filmmaker. But anyway, he was talking about, like, you know, how he got started, and how him and Chris were having this conversation about just kind of doing it for the love of doing it. You know, like, they're not making stuff for an audience, really, but making it because it's something that they would want. You know, it's like, and then eventually the success will come, because, you know, you're sticking to what you know and what you like and things. And they kind of brought in, like, something like with Rob Zombie, and how, like, when House of a Thousand Corpses came out, like, everybody's like, this is garbage. And then, like, you know,
now it's 10, like a cult classic.
10, 15 years later, everybody's like, this is one of the best movies. And it's like, and that's kind of what they're saying, is like, just stick to what you know and doing it, and eventually people are going to reward you and, you know, respect you for it and everything else. And so essentially that's, that's what I'm trying to do too, and you just gotta...
Trying to be an individual, And it's hard in this world where, especially, like, we live in a place where it's, like, easy to, like, post everything online. You could become famous, and you never leave your house. You know what I mean? As long as you have an internet connection and a phone, and you have, like, you know, you could do stuff that way. So it's harder to be, like, you're, like, a stand-up comedian, but you're also, like, well, I'm competing with people who aren't stand-up comedians but are on Vine or something like that. Yeah. Like, all these, like, different kind of comedians. But it's always fun to, like... Yeah, like, just like that, the journey of, like, trying to find out, like, who am I? Like, trying to find your voice. And like you said, being an individual is, it seems like it's the only way that makes sense. You know what I mean? Because you look up to guys, and guys you like, hopefully they're not, you know, you're like, I hope they're not copying off someone. So you should be someone just as individualistic as them. Otherwise it's just kind of a waste, and it doesn't feels fake. Yeah, it just doesn't feel good if you're trying to fit into someone else's shoes.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody, even regardless of where you're at, you're going to emulate people that you respect at first, until you find where, you know, what it is that your voice and everything else.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When I started, apparently people told me I sounded a lot like Tommy John again for a while, but I was like, never as good, but it's still not by a lot. But I remember, Nikki Glaser told me that. She's like, you kind of sound like Tommy John. I'm like, I'm not trying to. And I think we just, like, we were both raised a certain, like, both raised in the Midwest, kind of similar guys and stuff like that. But then I made, like, a conscious effort to be like, well, really just try to, like, be yourself. Because whenever you start stand-up, you're, at least for me, I was like, I was kind of myself, but it was like a version of me that was, I mean, written out and like, is this funny? You know what I mean? Like, not 100% Bobby Jaycox, but I think I'm finding it, like, more and more, especially in nights like tonight, whenever you have a show for like 13 people, if you can't be yourself, then you're just going into autopilot with your jokes. And if you can't have fun, and you're just going to be, it's going to feel like a nightmare, and it's going to feel like actual work sometimes.
It wasn't necessarily the punchlines, but whenever you would cross your arms and you got this like mad look, but you have that mustache, I'm like, that was just killing me. Yeah. Like, just so funny looking.
Because it looks so, yeah, this mustache, it looks terrible. And it's been growing for probably a month now, and this is how sad it is. Yeah, and that's, yeah, whenever I don't do well, I love, that's my favorite thing, is just cross my arms, just stand there and just be like, all right, you guys are making this not like happen. You're like, if you're not having a good time, then that's fine.
Yeah, that look on the face was killing me. It was funny stuff, but I love watching you guys, you know, like I said, watching everybody grow in this scene together and stuff. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, I'm having a blast.
Yeah, man.
It's a great time.
We mentioned a little bit, touched on it, but STL Uplate.
Yeah.
And you guys are doing a Kickstarter right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now we are doing a Kickstarter it started a while ago. We're doing it for about a month. It'll go from now on through September 15th, and you can donate. Right now we're about $12,000, and we need to raise $35,000, and we've already, we've met with people at KMOV and stuff like that. Right now we're just like, okay, what can you produce? And we could make an okay TV show with, the cameras that we all had, the same ones we shot the pilot with, that we brought to KMOV, but we really want to produce something that's high quality for St. Louis. And if you don't know what STL Uplate is, basically it's a late night talk and sketch show. Right. So when you watch the show, the beginning's like a monologue, and then there's a video sketch, some sketches, and then at the live shows we have an intermission, and then the second part is like almost like a Jimmy Fallon or something like that. It's like Eric interviews a guest, and then we have a band, and it's just this whole show that we want to make specific to St. Louis. So St. Louis has an outlet where that's like, hey, we hear monologue jokes on Fallon, but these ones are all pretty, specific to St. Louis, sure. Stuff like that. And everyone seems on board. We just got to try to raise that, trying to raise that money. So if you check it out online, stluplate.com, and you like us, put a couple bucks our way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was talking to some buddies on the other day about some of the skits and stuff you guys have on YouTube, or sketches or whatever you
call it.
Those ladies are leaving.
I talked about two of them, but the cutthroat one.
That's from Parody Patrol. That's Adam Huber, who's an amazing filmmaker. He makes videos that blow my mind. Yeah, yeah.
And then I guess it was the same stuff with it also with the pillow fight one with Kevin White.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another Parody Patrol one. Yeah, guys, also check out Parody Patrol. They are also super good. Adam Huber makes some videos, the one with the pillow fight he did with Kevin White was like, I couldn't believe how well the production on those were. Like some of the ones, it's cool now that you can make sketches and they don't have to just be on your iPhone. Sure. Like guys can actually do stuff and put a lot of all those special effects, all that shit I don't know about.
Right. And Eric was in Cutthroat, right?
Yeah, Eric was in. It was me and Eric in Cutthroat. He had the arms on his neck, which looked incredible. I couldn't believe how he blended that in so well.
Yeah, Cutthroat. It was. It's Eric, and he's got abs on his neck and two arms coming out he's all cut up. It takes a word and it makes the literal form of it. And in Pillow Fight, Kevin White has a fight to the death with his pillow and it's bleeding out and all this stuff. It's fairly funny.
Yeah, Huber has to deal with me every once in a while. I'll just be like I can't sleep at night. So I'll just text him and be like, hey, here's a word. This is what we could do. And I'm just I'm always sending him ones and he usually indulges me, but we haven't made any yet. Because I just annoy him late at night and he probably falls asleep and forgets. But I love, I think there's a lot of cool people in St. Louis doing amazing things with everything. But there's the filmmakers right now are definitely starting to come out from places. We went to a Bare Knuckle put on a show that showcased all of the local sketch groups and stuff. And there's group guys there who I'm like, I've never heard of these guys. And they had sketches that they put up that were just mind blowing. Yeah. It's cool that we live in St. Louis and people are creating those cool things.
Yeah, there's, music-wise, there's a group called The Loft Sessions, and that's exactly what it is. They have a loft, and they've been inviting a lot of really cool musicians to come in and jam, and put, they'll record it all with some really, beautiful camera work and stuff, and they put it on their YouTube series, and it's just neat that they're bringing, their own thing, but they're, showcasing St. Louis music, and they're... And, it's just fun. A lot of people working together, regardless if it's, through film and music and comedy and everything else. We're all, nice community vibe going on. So.
Yeah, and almost anything you do, you can't do everything, no matter what. No matter how good of a filmmaker, comedian, and all that, you can't do it yourself. You need other people.
Sure.
And whenever you can find that, like, a group of people that melds together, and you guys can all have the same ideas that you agree and like on, it's like, it's special. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to find.
Now, with the movie or the little short film that you did with Dad Kiss, do you write that as well, or co-write?
Yeah, I wrote that. Probably like over a year and a half ago. I was just on a road trip, and it was just, I had like a dumb idea, which is basically, if you haven't seen the video, you should watch it. It's pretty dumb.
Yeah, I'll tag it on this post.
But basically, it was like the idea, I was driving, and I had like a dumb idea in my line, like my head, which is a line like from the thing. And then I just went home, and I just wrote this really, really dumb idea. And I kept telling my friends, and I was like, isn't this dumb? And they would laugh harder than they do at all my other dumb ideas. Yeah. Like, that is actually funny. Wrote it, brought it, and Josh McNew, like, he was there, helping direct and stuff, and I had an idea in my head, and they surpassed, like, what I wanted. Like, it actually took probably, like, two full days of, like, shooting. Like, people see these sketches, and they see, like, a five-minute sketch, like, oh, that must have been no time, but it's like, we went to a high school, we had to film some stuff, we went to a lake and had to film some stuff. It's like these all-day shoots, and then people can watch it, and they're like, I liked it, I didn't like it. Like, come on, man, there's so much more to it, but it's a fun, I love learning this process, and being a part of, like, this especially STL, like getting off the ground with like trying something new, because you know a lot of people are always like pushing to do new things, but it's like a brand new like late night talk show. Like, even though I'm on it, like I would be pushing it this hard if I wasn't, because it's just something cool to where maybe, you know, people, we can have our own like fun in St. Louis. We don't always have to go other places to like to get entertainment.
I've been trying to say that a lot too, with you know, hoping to keep the talent here in town, because there are a lot of people, you know, once they start getting to a level, they want to move to LA or New York or whatever it is. And, like, you know, it's great if it's for you, but it's really nice that, you know, I think with the internet today and everything else, that you can almost make it anywhere. And if you want to stay here in St. Louis, then you know.
Yeah,
you'll definitely make it as well.
Yeah, so. I think you can definitely stay in like your earlier cities longer, because usually, it's long in comedy, I guess, like stand up comedy, you have to usually end up in New York or LA. But I've definitely heard of comedians who don't live in any, you know, big hub, and they do comedy like themselves. Like can't think of any people right now, but I know Chad Daniels. I think Chad Daniels doesn't even live like in a major populated city and stuff like that. But he, you know, it's just like, if you're always working, writing, like you said, with the internet and stuff, you can be pretty connected. You don't, it's not like you're at your house and you're like, I only see my family. You're like, you can just turn on a computer and the whole world's in that little square.
Well, and if you're in the Midwest here, it's easy to tour out of, you know, you can, anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Big left or right, which way are you going? Right. Yeah.
Anywhere is not too far away. So, you know, short plane ride or a road trip or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, you could always run up to Chicago or Nashville or anything else in a, you know, quick little car ride.
So. Yeah, a couple hours away. And, it's like all of those have like their own little cities that you get to see. It's fun. I love it.
Yeah.
Doing comedy is definitely the best.
Yeah. It's cool, man. Like us, you know, like I said, we live in that era now where, you know, anybody can make it anywhere. So, gonna be cool, refreshing. Yeah, man. I think it was like episode 8 you were on.
Oh wow, yeah, it has been a while. I love it.
It's been that was a fun episode, man.
Yeah, I'm glad. And you got new stickers here. Are the old sticker I have that's all yellow.
Yeah,
this is the new one.
So when Chris left the show, I decided to kind of rebrand everything, and then have like black ones and stuff. But the last batch, like their black was out. So like, I have red one, black ones, red ones. And the red was out last time. That's what it was. And, like, so you end up printing them on green. I'm like, it works. Whatever. Yeah. So I have a green batch now.
Yeah.
And
they're beautiful. Are these online?
Yeah. It's my logo. It's all the official logo now and stuff. And Matt Benny from Fivefold helped me design that.
It's beautiful.
And
looks good.
Yeah, I had a really cool moment, man. So last a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, I was at the Ink Spot Block Party in Troy, which was headlined by Story of the Year. your buddies.
The guys I loved. Oh, I got a story about Dan Marcella. I don't know if I told you.
Yeah. But this is, check that.
He's got it right on the guitar. Yeah. He's got the Rock Paper Podcast sticker right on his guitar. That's cool.
Yeah, that's Nathan Hunt from Shaman's Harvest. I got to record with those guys right before their set, and Nate slapped that sticker on his guitar, and I was like, you know, when he's playing it on the stage, I'm like, that is awesome. Like, this is, yeah. You know, nobody knew. I'm sure nobody else gave a shit, but like for me, it was like, this is a really cool moment. So
yeah,
and I got Visionary Media got a nice real. Good shot of it that they put online. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that's so anyway, when Chris left, I rebranded everything, got the new logo, and I didn't want to put, you know, with Shane or any names on it just in case, like, I ever did add another co-host or anything like that. I just, you know, just the name Rock Paper Podcast.
And, very simple. And yeah. It looks good. Yeah, it's a pretty.
Yeah, I let Matt have pretty much free range. Like I said, hey, man, I was like, just make me something cool, and that's. That's what he came up with. So I was like, "Yeah, it works for me." So
that's good.
Yeah, and then he also designed the flyer that I had for the 1 year anniversary party. So it was exciting to get some official stuff like that. And,
mm-hmm.
But yeah,
that's awesome.
It's been things have been really in the last year for me, man. I've been hustling, and the show's really. Seems to be growing.
Yeah, it seems like it's picking up. Yeah, every time I see it on Facebook, there's always either like a new post or like a new group, and you always do the best with like even like every night of being like, here's all of the things you can see in St. Louis, and there's a big list, and you tag everyone who's in it. It's always music, comedy, whatever you see. You're like, hey, this is something. If you're in St. Louis, this is what you should be seeing, and hopefully you're a good person and you go see whatever. It doesn't have to be comedy if you don't want it. It doesn't have to be whatever you want, but just go support some kind of art form, because there's someone out there working hard, and all they want is someone just like sitting there watching them.
Yeah, I try to tag the artist, and I try to tag the venues, because it's all local people, local businesses, mm-hmm. You know, get out and support local.
Shop local, yeah. Everything. Shop local, all of your things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we are in a Taco Bell, but, you know, sometimes it's cheap, and I'm poor. Yeah. I don't know. I can't speak for Shane. I'm poor.
Right. I'm waiting for those sweet podcast checks to come in.
Guys, send the money into the podcast. Please send your money in.
You ever watch that movie Tusk? See that
no, yet? I have not seen it. I feel bad. Everything you're like, have you seen it? I'm like, I'm the worst at seeing things. I just saw Wet Hot American Summer for the first time.
Oh, really?
I know, and man. I just somehow, like, I didn't, no one ever showed it to me, and I just miss it. Apparently I miss, like, all these big mile marker movies, bands, this, that, and the other. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, yes, Wet Hot American Summer is a great movie, and the series is fun, too. Like, it's, it's a good time. But they, in Tusk, it's written by Kevin Smith, and it started on the idea behind it started on the podcast that he does, and he's kind of worked on this idea in the episode, and then like they went to Twitter and they said, hey, you know, hashtag yes or no for if you want to see this movie, and then everybody's like, yeah, we want to see this, and so Kevin went to write it and actually made it a full length movie, and Justin Long is one of the main actors in it, and him and Haley Joel Osment are co-hosts for their podcast, and Justin says he makes like, I don't know, like $150,000 a year or something, whatever, makes like crazy money for doing the podcast, and I'm like, man, I gotta get to that level.
Yeah, you're like, I feel like it's either between it's like Marc Maron is like killing it making money, and then there's like a big gap of like, yeah, I don't know how, sure. I'm like, I don't know how, because you gotta get like those sponsorships that, but it's like, it seems like there's the big ones, and then they're like, I don't know how, like that whole like, it seems, it's so new that I think it's like, do you find it hard to like try to find out like what kind of direction or like how to like brand it, or, like how to get it onto like certain different things and stuff like that?
Well, I don't know. Like, I think a lot of it's just, you know, building an audience and things. But, like, those guys have a unique advantage where they're on the road all the time and building a an audience that way. You know, when you—that's how, like, I learned about About Last Night and, mm-hmm. and the Crab Feast with Jay Larson and Rand Sickler, because Jay Larson was at the West Funny Bone, and he's like, "Hey, man, check out my podcast." I'm like, "All right," I gave it a listen. I really liked it. And
yeah,
been listening, you know, for a couple years now. So the same thing with About Last Night when I met Adam Ray, and you know, it's just like, so those guys have that advantage where they're out on, you know, in a different city every week, and they're mm-hmm. like, "Hey, check out the show I do." And
yep.
So,
and then it's like almost like, yeah, it's like another, it's another form of income for, like, yeah, certain like performers or stuff like that. It's like a lot of comedians, yeah, they just take it on the road and yeah,
I think
do it that
comedians
way.
It's a great idea because it allows them to, like, constantly writing. You know, even when you're on the air, you can, like, you know, you might say some stupid idea with your buddy, but it's like, might, you know, hey man, there actually is something there. You know,
yeah. It's like always shopping ideas. Yeah. You're like, I like that, and then you can write it down. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like that's, like, you know, listening to them, like, work out material live on the show, it's always, you know, it's entertaining to me, but
entertaining reward. Yeah, I love it. I love all that stuff.
What was your Dan or your story? Your story.
So the Dan Marsalis story. So for those who don't know, I grew up, like, being a super big Story of the Year fan, and still like him very much to this day. I see him probably every time they come through to St. Louis. And Dan, he's a bartender at the Flamingo Bowl. And we had a season 3 wrap party, and we go after the STL Up Late party to the Flamingo Bowl, and we show up, we're having a good time, and all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, did you see who's bartending?" Like, it's Dan Marsalis. I was like, "Okay, cool," because I grew up with Dan Marsalis in the way of, like, I didn't have the internet, I didn't have anything, but my neighbors had Fuse, so I would go over there every once in a while. And I remember, like, the first time I saw, like, Story of the Year play, I was like, "Who is this band?" And I learned about them, and I was like, "Well, Dan Marsalis seems cool and wears all black. I'm going to wear all black." By the way, I had one black Nike t-shirt, and that was it. So I wore that as many days in a row as I could before my mom was like, "You got to wash that." And so I was a super big fan, came there, saw him, and I walked up, and I was like, "Hey, we need to get a couple shots." And I was like, "Just so you know, I'm like, I love your band. I'm like, I grew up with them, and I'm like, I also listen to them, and the Fuck Off and Dies. I'm like, just huge fan of yours. Thanks for what you do." He's like, "Hey, man, here, these shots are on me." And so he bought our shots, and we're standing there talking to him for a little bit. I'm over there bowling. I'm getting fucked up. I get really, really drunk. And I come back up to the bar, and I keep going back. And finally, I'm getting bad to where my friends are like, "You have to cut him off. You got to cut him off." And my friends are like, "I'm driving him home. But we got to get him out of here." And they're closing up. And I go up to him, and I've been talking to him all night about stuff. And I go, "Hey, let me get another shot." And he goes, "Your friends told me that I'm not allowed to give you another shot." And I go, "Dan, I told you you're the favorite. You're my favorite dude in my favorite band, and you're not going to give me one more shot?" Just, like, playing along. And he goes, and he pours it, and all of my friends are like, "No!" And I was like, "Whatever." I do the shot. I'm really close to blacking out. And before I leave, he leans over and he goes, "Hey, man, you have a good night." And he goes, and he kissed me, and I kissed him. And I'm not putting all the blame on him. Definitely kissed him back. Straight man kissing another straight man. And being very giddy about it, because I grew up, and I said the next morning, my buddy goes, "Hey, do you remember kissing Dan Marsalis?" And I go, "I do, and if you're trying to make fun of me, I don't think you've ever kissed your favorite lead singer of your band, Ed." So that's the thing, is I was like, for a while, I was like, I want to meet Dan Marsalis. I didn't know I'd kiss him, but I did, and that's a good time. I the next morning I woke up, and I didn't get his number or anything, you know, but I felt dirty. I felt dirty. So I've always wanted to do a podcast with the Fuck Off and Dies or Story of the Year. So hopefully if they ever hear this, that's how we're going to get them on the show, and we'll do a one big group one, and then I'll fucking just make out with Dan the whole time. First dude I've ever made out with. I hope my dad doesn't listen to this. Yeah. He'll be not happy. He'll be not happy that I kissed a guy drunk. Whatever, though. It's the life I live.
Yeah. Yeah, Dan's a funny guy, man. I at that show in Troy, he was cracking me up, because I don't know if you saw it online, but there was like an online petition trying to kick the Fuck Off and Dies off the bill because of their overusage of the fuck word.
Which is so fun. That's like the funniest part of, like, that they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna do it." That's their point. Yeah.
They were saying, you know, it's like a family event and stuff like that. And, like, anyway, no, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And they were there. And then Dan, you know, he's playing the Fuck Off Dies played earlier, and then he came back and he did a set with Story, the headline, and just killed it, man. It's so good.
Yeah.
And but he was saying, he's like, "I say fucking this stupid band too," like, you know, something like that. And he's like, "Well," and then, like, he looks over at Ryan on guitar and he's like, "Oh, I'm not saying you guys are stupid. You look totally badass, by the way," or something like that. And
yeah.
Just, like, those little things like that crack me up.
Yeah. And they're fun band. Yeah. Every time I've gone to see them, like play most. It's, I think almost every time it's been at the pageant, I've always seen him play the pageant, and they always, always seem like they're just giving like their full heart. Like they're always, they're running around. They're like, I remember one time when Adam was still in the band, I saw him go around the edge, and he's literally just. I don't know if you've ever been to the pageant. There's a place where you can sit, and there's a railing with like a little lip, and he walked around like the entire thing and played bass. And then there's that old video where he jumps from like the rafters. They're not that crazy anymore because they're getting a little older, but they still they backflip. Like I love going to see him perform. Like, them Greek. Fire the fuck off. They've everything that they touch is beautiful. And now Moon's on the radio. Yeah. Like, it's turning into us talking about story of the year. But they're the guys I grew up with and they all seem like they're doing great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm every time I throw it out there on Facebook, like, you know, hey, who would you like to hear? And all those guys come up and it's like, yeah, I'm trying. I would love to have them on the show. It'd be a lot of fun. And hopefully one of these days with Phil or Moon on the radio and everything else all the time. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, super busy and everything else.
And all the different bands and they're all doing and they have families now and stuff. Sure. Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I'm getting there. I'm getting closer, I think. Hopefully,
I'll keep pushing. I'll pull for it too. Even if I'm not on the episode, I'll come and just watch them talk. Hang out with them.
Tell them, hey Dan, remember me?
Hey Dan, remember me? How about these lips? Man, he might be. Yeah. I think he might be embarrassed about that one.
Yeah,
kissed a rogue fan.
Yeah, kissed some dude with a mustache.
Kissed some dude with the worst mustache. Look me up on. It's not good. It's bad. I have a baby face, and I have this. I look like a baby with just a dirty lip, very dirty lip. Everyone hates it. Yeah. I'm glad you pointed it out, Shane.
Yeah,
it's bad.
I love it.
Thanks, buddy.
I think anything with a anybody with a mustache just makes them at least 10-15% more funnier. You know.
So. Yeah. Because you don't. Yeah, you can't take me seriously. Girls aren't looking at me like, oh, he's cute. Yeah. I'm like, I take away all the sexual part out of it. Now it's just let's get to the jokes.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No one's fucking this. No one's sitting on this face. This is a dirty, dirty face.
Who wants a mustache?
Who wants one? It will rub off if anyone tries to get a ride. That's how light it is. It will go away.
I was going to say, I don't know, totally blank now.
Don't worry about it. I'm pretty blank too.
You were saying your dad would be mad, and I thought of, in your act, you were talking about your brother and, you know, getting, then when your dad finding out, you want to tell that?
I won't tell, like, the actual, the joke, but I'll tell, like, the story. Basically, my little brother, I don't know if he wants me telling this. I'll leave out. Okay.
Oh, you don't have to do it.
No. You know, I will. Because here's the thing: is because it's positive. He was the first one to tell me I couldn't tell the joke, and then I was like, why? Because it's so positive for you. And then recently, I told him, he's like, yeah, I don't care. So here's the thing. So my little brother, basically, he goes to a school where someone had posted online about him, and you can do this anonymous post. Like, the internet's so mean, and some girl wrote that she goes, has the biggest dick she's ever seen. And he told me at the time that he was, like, worried. He's like, I don't want my dad finding out. He goes, I don't want work finding out. And I was like, I don't even know why you're upset. I was like, you just became the older brother. Like, that's... It's incredible that you have this big... I was like, I should have known whenever I was like... I was like wearing size 9s for a while. And then he's like, I'm in size 11s. So I was like, I should have caught it. But... And we're brothers, so I've seen it. And it, ladies, if you ever see... Joey Jaycox is basically me, but tanner, taller, and just apparently a big old dick. Apparently a big old... Yeah. So he was worried about work finding out. He's worried about my dad finding out. Like, he's going to kick him out. Like, you get your big dick out of this house. We only have teeny tiny little dicks here. Yeah. So, yep, that's my little... If you have never met him, he's rocking a hog. He's rocking a hog for sure. And that's why, like, I'm always like, why don't you do comedy and stuff like that? I'm like, I need to work to get people to like me. He's like, I can just pull down my pants and just everyone's very impressed. Yeah.
There's a Rodney Carrington joke about some guy, you know, with having a big dick in the locker room or something in high school, and walking in, like, he's like, hey, this guy was walking in like he's got a shovel in his pants.
Yeah.
And he's like, God damn, put that thing away, you big dick bastard.
He
says, like, something about, you know, in your will, how you can, like, leave things, and he's like, you know, how he's saying, you know, he's like, yeah, otherwise people start leaving, you know. He's like, man... you got a big old dick. And he's like, I was like, when you, if you die before me, I was wondering if I could have your dick.
I was just wondering if you'd show me and my family your dick. Yeah. You seem like you got a nice dick, and yeah, I'd like to see it.
I like it. No, I don't like it like that, you know.
I mean, I don't like it like that. I like it because it's like the same way you like the same way you like a pretty sky. Like, it doesn't happen. You don't see it a lot. It's a very pretty. I don't. Just show me your dick, man. Could you please show me your dick? I'll stand back here.
Oh, I like that they, you know, it's based off that one, like, you know, it could be like the first one she's seen, but it's like, oh, that's the biggest one ever. And then like that led the whole thing, like, you know, just like, every, you know, I don't know, it just makes me laugh, like, just because, you know, it's a ridiculous premise, the fact that, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
or that she's seen, you know, 1,000 dicks. That was the biggest one I've seen.
Yeah, I've seen 1,000 dicks, and all together, it's not as big as that one. If you put them all together, that is a huge dong. That is a huge dong. Huge dong! Just yelling in a Taco Bell, huge dong.
Yeah. Check that off the bucket list.
Check that off the bucket list.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
Is that, so, like, that's based on a true story, huh?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, my brother has a huge dick. I, you know, it was, yeah, that's the girl, some girl posted about it online, and he came to me. Yeah. All of that's true. He's like, I'm worried about this.
Yeah.
And at first I thought that whenever they came to him, because I was like, oh, people probably called him gay online because that's what I got called. And that's not what happened. He just realized he's going to have a better high school experience than I am. Right. Yeah, like I was like, that's not even negative. I was like, whoever did that is the nicest girl. You should go thank that girl. Yeah. She's like, he's got a big dick. I'm like, well, show the world. Have a great senior year, buddy.
I kind of went through a similar thing. Nobody ever knew, but like,
you have a rockin' big old thong, Shane.
Like, I wear a size 15 shoes, and so, yeah, I was the biggest guy in the school, all this stuff. So, like, it was a constant thing. Like, everybody was always, like, talking about that I must have a huge wiener, and I'm like, whatever, I'll run with it. I don't care, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but it wasn't like it led to a bunch of ladies lining up or anything like that, so, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just fun to, like, play around with it, like, the fact that and the premise, not the not playing around with my
wiener. Not playing around with your wiener. Yeah, but guys, if you check it out on Rock Paper Podcast, you can see Shane's dick. He'll post one later. It's a huge one. You're going to have to scroll a little bit. You'll have to scroll down just a tad.
Wide-angle lens.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It was just, that stuff's funny, though, man. It's just funny what people think is, important in high school and stuff. And the fact that, like, you look back on it now and it's like, oh, this is goofy.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, I try to remember that now because I remember, like the things you think in high school, you're like, oh, they don't matter.
Yeah.
So now the things I'm like, when I'm 24 that I think matter, I'm like, these also don't matter. So just enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Have a good time because you and me and my little dweeby dick will get through all the times where my brother will just, he'll coast off his big old hog and I'll just never have money. I'll just never have money or a dick. I'm very sorry, my future wife, if you're listening to this, that this is who I am. This is who I am. And it's not bad. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not great. I mean, it's not on a Richter scale. I don't know what a Richter scale is, but I'm just trying to... If you want a picture, my Snapchat name is Bobby Jacobs. Just no spaces. I'll snap it to you. It'll be great. Yeah, I got off the rails there about my dick for a second. I had a good time with that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's been a lot of fun. I'm glad we got to hang out again. And
me too.
Catch up in a Taco Bell. And
talk about. I feel like I haven't seen you in just forever and just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I've been doing this show and everything else. I don't get to see everybody I want. But it's been a lot of fun meeting all kinds of new people. But like I said, I don't get to see buddies like you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's shit, man. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time we was. I don't know.
Yeah, it's been a while. But it's always good seeing you. Yeah. Absolutely. You're always a positive guy. Yeah, please, everyone, if you're already listening to this podcast, which I guess you have to be, please share it with your friends. Let other people listen to it. If you didn't like mine talking about my dick and stuff like that, please listen to other ones because this is an amazing thing, and no one's doing this in St. Louis. No one's just promoting other things. You're like an angel.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, appreciate that. So what you got Twitter? At Bobby J. Cox.
Instagram at Bobby J. Cox, and I haven't unveiled it yet. I'm like building it up. But if you're listening to this, you can also, if my Instagram isn't good enough for you, can also follow me at Sexy Bobby J. Cox, where I basically just take pictures that annoy me, like that girls take. Like if I ever get coffee, getting a picture with that, my legs down, you know what I mean, doing the hot dog pics, all that. Anytime I'm at a pool. So if you want to follow me at Sexy Bobby J. Cox, you can also follow me there. There's one post right now, but hopefully there will be more. It's so dumb, but it's my new favorite. Yeah. It's my new favorite side project.
All right, I told you I had Tim Convey on a little while, and he does that T-shirt problems.
Yes,
and I love following that too. Like, just it's funny. Like these, you know, like themed Facebook or Twitter
like Hat
Instagram.
Striker Spurlock or something like that. Yeah, like all these like dumb like little side pages, which is like you're like at first like that's dumb. You're like it's all dumb. Yeah, everything we're doing is dumb. It's so fun to just have a little thing and just have fun with it. Yeah, I love all that shit.
Time callback, having a little thing.
I have a little thing, everyone. I have a tiny little fucking dog. So if you want to make fun of me, that's fucking fine. And if you don't want to make fun of me, I'll let you see it. So there you go. Both things are bad.
All right, buddy. I'll let you get out of here. It's been a lot of fun, man.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me, Shane.
Yeah, thank you. Check out Bobby coming to a town near you. Get online. Go to the Kickstarter.
STLUplate.com. Just throw us a couple bucks. Check us out on YouTube. Please support us in any way you can. We love it. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Anything helps. Hopefully we'll get some really cool late night show here in town, and you know, everybody will benefit from it. And that's it. Episode 111.
Boom.
Yeah.
111.
Yeah. Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, Shane. Hey everybody, what's up? This is Bobby J. Cox, and you're listening to Rop Paper. Let's do that one again. Rop Paper Cock Cast. You're listening to the Holocast.
Take two.
Take four. Okay.